It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Basketball, football, they have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You can get your winnings back in 2 hours. My favorite, the same game parlays. You can bet $5 or $10 and win $150 or more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started now. Sign up promo code Colin so they know we and I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook. In the history of Eastern Washington University, Cooper Kupp, without question, is the most famous alum. Oh, there are some really talented people that also went there. We don't need to talk about them. But the MVP offensively of the league last year, the Super Bowl MVP, and the fourth player ever to lead the NFL in receiving, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. The most notable Eastern Washington University alum of all time, Cooper Kupp. So, Coop, I know Washington State High School football pretty well. You were a no-star recruit, and I was a no-star broadcasting recruit that went to Eastern. But I look back at Eastern, and I was a small-town kid, and I couldn't have handled a big school. I just wasn't ready to go to a Texas, you know, whatever, you know, Ohio State. I think back on my Eastern days so fondly. I was in Dressler, one of those circular.
Yep.
I was on a great intramural football team. I remember every player on that team. And I think for a lot of people, they look at Eastern out in the middle of nowhere, but it's got great spring, summer, fall weather. It's really good football. And that's where I want to start with you. Like, you didn't get recruited by anybody, even though you had some lineage in your family. Did you go to Eastern thinking, I'm lucky, I'm going to prove people wrong? Do you remember your first month on campus?
Yeah, I do. I definitely remember that first. I got up there in June. I got up there as soon as I possibly could. Wanted to be involved in the summer program and learning the offense and doing all the different stuff. So I got up there real early afterwards. And I had an attitude of I was very grateful for the opportunity. You go from this place where, you know, I walked off the football field my senior year. The last game, we get absolutely stomped by a team out there in Spokane, not far away from Eastern Washington, and get absolutely stomped by them. I walk off that field, having just gotten stomped and having no scholarship offers. My last football game, I had put it all out there. I didn't have anywhere. I didn't know if I was going to play in college. So for me, I was grateful for the opportunity that Eastern provided. I was also stepping into a place where there were three All-American receivers in front of me. So I was also very excited about the opportunity to learn from some guys that had done some really good stuff as well. So when I got up there, that was really my heart moving up there and moving into that place, moving into Cheney and being a part of that stuff. There's nothing to do. There's not a whole lot to do up there except, you know, you get to play football and be a part of a really good program.
Yeah, there was Zips.
There's Zips. Yes, exactly.
There was Zips. I wasn't old enough to go to, like, was it Shoney's or there was some bar, but I couldn't go to it until I was until I was like a senior.
Yep.
And I felt really comfortable there because my high school football team had 29 players. I was the quarterback, not very good. But your dad was a quarterback in the NFL, Cowboys, Cardinals. Your grandfather was an offensive lineman. So when I read your story, my guess is you were a late bloomer, that you were athletic, but you like popped, put on 15, 20 pounds. That was my guess.
Yep.
When was the moment for you that as a skinny high school player that you kind of did think for yourself, I can make some waves in this sport and even think maybe Canadian football. I mean, seriously, like, was there a moment, do you remember thinking, I wonder if I could play professionally?
Yeah, I do. And actually that moment, as crazy as it sounds, that moment came when I was 9 years old and I stepped on the football field for the first time, put the pads on. I was at my brother's coach pitch baseball game. There was a team practicing out in right field. I went and checked it out and said, I want to do this, Dad. Put the helmet and shoulder pads on for the first time playing. I said, this is what I'm going to do. From that moment on, there was never a doubt in my mind that I was going to play professional football. And I did. I weighed in my freshman year. I was 115 pounds. I was 5'4". I put on 15 pounds consecutively every offseason. I was put on 15 pounds, grew a little bit here and there. It wasn't until really my freshman, sophomore year in college that I really started to like feel like I came into my body. But the doubt in terms of my mindset never changed. I got laughed at all the time. I wore ankle weights to school every day because that's just what I felt like I needed to do to make the leaps and bounds that needed to happen. But if you asked me my freshman year, stepping on that scale, if you had asked me what I was going to do, I was going to play running back at USC and follow Reggie Bush, and I was going to go play in the NFL. That was just, in my mind, in my heart, it was set in stone.
So I have friends in some NFL offices, and I knew the Rams liked you, but I also knew the Chargers loved you. And so from two GMs I know, they asked me, they're like, you're an Eastern kid. Do you know this kid? And I'm like, listen, they love him. He's the hardest working guy on the team, totally focused. So the Rams come up on the red field and McVay's up there. And so the day they're flying in, are you nervous as all get out, knowing you are going to have to perform for Sean McVay?
Yeah, so you're talking about like going through like pro day and like when like they came off the private workouts. Yeah, so I worked out with the Tennessee Titans. I had a private workout with the Titans, and I had a private workout with the Rams. And when the Rams came out, I was very excited about it. I don't know, good nerves, but right. you don't know what they're going to throw at you. You know, when I was with the Titans, came out first. You know, I had John Robinson playing DB on me, and I was releasing against the GM and doing stuff like that. So you never know what they're going to throw at you. But I was excited about it. I knew that in my meeting with them at the, at the combine and stuff, I knew that there was a cerebral nature to the offense that Sean McVay was running with the Rams that he was bringing in. And I was excited about that. I was excited about being able to step in and do some of the things that they were asking some of their guys to do. So when they came in, I just wanted to be able to be at my peak. I want to make sure that I could perform for them, but I also knew I just had to trust in who I was and what I was as a player. And I knew that I was good enough to play in this league. It was just about getting an opportunity.
So you go from Eastern And then you go to your first camp, and that's a big leap. I mean, it's Carson Wentz has had to make it from that level. Trey Lance now, you make that leap. So it's hard enough to make the leap from Ohio State to the NFL. Do you remember your first NFL practice?
Yeah, no, I do. Luckily, we were able to go through a little bit of a mini camp first, a little rookie mini camp. But I remember coming out here that first day, and there is an uptick in the speed and the intensity. Certainly, there's not much room for error. And quickly, it was the realization of how important the details are. The details and your technique were going to set you free in this league. And you know, I love that, though. I love the challenge that presented, the opportunity presented for me. We'll dial into those things. Those are all things that were under my control. Technique, being able to be intentional with how I wanted to run my routes, being able to understand the game. Those are all things that were completely under my control. And I knew I could dive into those details and get to the point where I'm processing things quicker and I'm taking advantage of those aspects. And I knew that my body was going to follow along after that. So I love that challenge that was presented from day one, just the importance of all those things and being able to step into that has been great.
Can you name the six receivers drafted before you?
I name the six of them. I'm probably going to mess up right near the end there, but I know, you know, you had John Ross, you had Corey Davis go, you had Mike Williams go, you had Zay Jones, went to Buffalo. I would say I was a big fan of Zay's coming out. You had Juju. Maybe you had Curtis Samuel.
Boom! 6 for 6. You're like Brady. He can name every quarterback that got picked ahead of him. When in the route tree, one of the things I think, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but one of the things I notice with you, and it reminds me a little of Jerry Rice, is that people always talked about, it's kind of legendary, that Jerry wasn't a burner, but what Jerry did and you do, you don't slow down off your routes. Like, you just go the same speed. And it's interesting because it seems like everybody would do that, but it's not true. Did you copy, emulate? Is it natural that you don't slow down off a route? And I think that's harder than people think. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I really think it comes down to this. I was very lucky. My quarterback coach growing up, the quarterback that has to this day thrown me the most passes, that I've spent the most time with, is my dad. And I had an NFL quarterback be my receiver coach from the very beginning. That's who I learned to run routes from. When you're learning to run routes from a quarterback's perspective, you have no other option except to make the quarterback look good. Because if you don't make the quarterback look good, he's going to tell you something about it. So, you know, everything I did, every route that I ran ever growing up, everything that I've ever learned from the receiver position, I learned through the eyes of a quarterback. And how to be friendly, how to be able to give indicator steps and be friendly to a quarterback in terms of the angles that you're coming out with, being a friendly target. All those things came from the fact that I had a quarterback teaching me how to play the position. And, you know, I was very lucky in that, and just at a young, very young age, just became intrinsically, that's just how I understood the position. So having that as a foundation was a huge blessing for me.
The playoffs are here. You can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. FanDuel's hooking you up free bets through the playoffs. Free bets. Doesn't matter if you're a new customer or already have an account. Be sure to check out the app. Exclusive weekly same-game parlay promos. FanDuel's got so many ways to play. Best of all, when you win, you get paid faster than a fast break. If you're new to FanDuel, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with the promo code Colin. If you already have an account, you're all set to get in on the action. Either way, you'll get an assist from FanDuel when you bet a same-game parlay during the playoffs. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HOP
HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So then you go to Sean McVay, and you know, McVay is he's so intense. Like, he's like a ball of energy. And he says, like, he loves coaching Cooper Kupp. Has Sean McVay ever yelled at you?
Oh yeah, I get yelled at all the time. That's a great thing too, though. You know, there's a he's very hard on the people around him. He's also very hard on the people he has great expectations for. And so certainly there's going to be ways that we see the game in a very similar way, but there's also things that we see differently. You know, as a coach, as a receiver, you know, when he's watching the game from a bird's eye view, from his angle, from his perspective, he might see things differently than I do. And this is a game. It's a game of, you know, playing in the gray. That's so much of what you have to do in this position But what we do is playing in the gray, making decisions, you know, real quick processing. You know, you have to be decisive, and you don't have time to sit there and think about it. You just have to make a decision and go. And so certainly there's times that we see things differently and have to have a, you know, a spirited discussion about, you know, what the right way is to do it. But the greatest thing here is Sean's humility and his ability to understand that collaboration is, at the end of the day, if we can collaborate together and hear the voices that need to be heard and come to a solution, we're going to be at the right place. It's not about one person making the decision, saying we're going this way. It's about figuring out together what's best for us, and then being able to be as efficient and effective as possible as an offense.
Listen, you were good friends with Jared Goff, but it's a business, it happens. Mel Kiper once told me that Matt Stafford was one of the only quarterbacks he'd ever seen that could have gone high school to the pros. You could have put him on a roster, had him back up, grow up, mature. What was the first pass Stafford threw to you in practice that you were like, whoa? I mean, it's Matt's got, like, he could be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. Like, it's rare. It's top four or five in the league. Could you hear it? Hear the spin? Was there a moment you were like, dude, this dude's got an arm?
Yeah. You know what's funny? You bring this up. I hadn't thought about this, but probably the play that happened during OTAs probably a year ago to the day almost, that it was like the light went on, like, oh, that is what makes this guy great. Is it the exact same play that we ran that he no-looked in the Super Bowl? Was honestly the first that was the first time where I went back. I felt what he had done. I'm like, I think he might have just no-looked that one. And I went back and watched on film, and seeing him manipulate people underneath and do what he did with his eyes and being able to throw the ball that he did, it was literally on the exact same play that he no-looked in the Super Bowl. You know, when he had that great one on that last drive. It was literally the exact same play. But yeah, that was the moment where it's like, this guy has something that is different. It's not, he's not a quarterback that's reactive. He, you know, the saying, take what the defense gives you. A lot of the times that's true. He also understands how to say, no, I'm going to dictate where this ball is going and move the people and make sure that I can make the throw that I want to make. That's going to be the big play.
That throw against Tampa, when, I mean, Cooper, like literally the boat's losing water. Like, I'm sitting there watching going, guys, come on, get it together. It's like one of those NBA runs. Somebody hit a basket.
I know.
So you, on that play, was that going to be, I'm throwing it to you, period? Or was he watching the break? Because that really was the play of the season for you at that point.
Yeah, so that play wasn't even called for me. That play was called for Van Jefferson running a little dagger route. I was going to try to occupy the deep safety, try to pull out some guys running down the middle of the field. And Van Jefferson was running a little widened dagger in cut at like 20 yards. I was coming in there, and the ball is going to be coming to him. And we're going to try to get up there, spike the ball, and get one more play. And they end up sliding into that zero late. Don't quite hit it how they want to. I feel a safety slide over, and I just hit it and hope that Matthew was going to be able to get that thing up. And I mean, what Matthew did, what's not appreciated on that play, Matthew being able to see zero, buy enough time, and he put the ball up when I was about 12, 13 yards down the field, but it wasn't caught until about 40 or 40 plus yards down the field. You know, for him to put the air on it that he needed to allow me to, you know, catch that in stride as long as I was running down the field, it was an incredible throw on his part.
You know, a lot of receivers are big personalities, and I've always theorized that you're the first to break the huddle. It's sort of the only position in football that is a little individual. And I think to myself, Cooper Kupp, you have like a linebacker personality. Was there something that did attract you to the individual nature? Was it maybe your dad was a quarterback and you're making all the catches? Because you said you wanted to be a running back at one point.
Yeah, well, I did. I grew up playing running back. My body, obviously, I still dreamed of playing running back, but the body just developed differently. Obviously, I kind of was limited in my options there. But I've always just thought, I've always appreciated about football that it is a team sport. It is the greatest team sport in the entire world. And receiver, you're right. Receiver is probably one of the more individual positions, but it relies on 10 other guys to do their job to perfection. All five linemen have to pick up the blitz, have to pick up the rush. Quarterback's got to be great with his progression. Running back has to know if he's got any kind of pressure coming. He's got to be able to get back into his, progress into his route to be able to pull coverage. The other receivers that are on the field have to distribute the field the right way. All this has to happen before I get even an opportunity to make a play. So, I've got a great appreciation for me to be able to do what I do. There's 10 other guys that have to do their job at a very high level. And that's what makes this game so good. And so that's why I've got so much appreciation. When I'm asked to block, and I'm asked to pass block, and I'm asked to run block, I'm just another cog in that machine for someone else. And so I've just got so much appreciation for what it takes to be effective as an offense and be able to make this thing go so we can put points up on the board and win games.
Well, I mean, you are a blocking receiver as well. But there is a difference between blocking somebody from, you know, Fresno State and the NFC West. Have you ever had a blocking assignment and thought, all right, this is not going great. This, who's the strongest guy you've ever put your hands on?
Well, I've had to, you know, yeah, I've had to block Jadeveon Clowney off the edge. I've had to block Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack, actually 2 years ago when he was with Chicago, Khalil Mack, I had to block him on the backside a couple times. And there's one play where he grabs me. It was kind of a cutoff block. I wasn't like straight up with him, but I kind of had a cutoff. I cut him off pretty good. And he got me, and he was this close to choke slamming me. And I was able at the last second, I felt it. He was about to come. I just yelled, Khalil. And he luckily pulled off because he was laughing afterwards, but he had a chance to really do some damage to me. But there's been some guys that I've had to block that are great in this league. But I've also learned some good stuff from our tackles and the guys that have taught me a few little techniques to be able to, you know, weasel my way into, you know, losing with dignity in some situations.
You know, it's interesting. When OBJ came to the Rams, he was really effective in that Super Bowl. He was also really effective immediately. Do you ever, whether it's Robert Woods or OBJ, do you ever watch other guys on film, Coop, and you're just like, you know, I'm going to borrow that, like footwork, an angle. Like, do you still, like OBJ, if I said to you, what do you see when you watch OBJ as a receiver?
His patience, top of the routes, his ability to, no matter what happens, if he loses his release, his ability to be patient enough and trust that the depth of his route and the timing in which he's going to come open within the progression of wherever the play is, his ability to understand that and understand that the patience at the top of the route is going to allow him to win still. It's my biggest thing about Odell. He plays with such confidence and such patience. That's a great thing. I mean, that's the position. I mean, it is an art form because it's not about just how fast you can run. It's getting open at the right time as well, being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, his ability to get to the top of routes and, you know, understanding how to use his eyes to manipulate guys, face freezing guys. He did an incredible job at that. So, and certainly I want to grab things from guys as much as I possibly can. This is, I've said, receiver is an art form. I want to grab as much as I can from other people. It's not all going to work. I can't do the things that Calvin Johnson did. You know, there's some Andrew Hawkins has some stuff that he does that I couldn't do. But grabbing little pieces from each guy and being able to say, how many tools can I add to my utility belt? How many things can I have up, you know, week in and week out to be able to allow me to win? I'm all about that.
You have great religious conviction. You're a small town kid. Los Angeles is a big city with a Kardashian on every block. And you kind of hide. You kind of do your own thing. And, you know, I would never say Cooper Kupp, Los Angeles. That's where he's going to live the rest of his life. But yet I saw you in a tie-dye shirt somewhere on Instagram, and I'm like, you're living your best life. Like, Yakima kid, Eastern Washington kid. I tell friends all the time, I'm like, listen, I've been in small towns. I've been in wet weather. The sun in the city, it's fun. It's like a new chapter in my life. Has LA been easy for you? Has it been culture shock for you? How do you and your wife fit in?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a thermometer, thermostat situation. I am going to be who I am. We are about the things that we're about as a family. We're going to be about what we're about. And, you know, I think no matter where you go, we're going to do the things that we like to do and, you know, appreciate the things that we, you know, appreciate the things that we get to do here in this place and the opportunities that LA provides. Certainly. I mean, we love it here. We love the, we're foodies. We love the food scene. We love being able to go out and do things. And, you know, usually around 10 o'clock, we start yawning and feel like we got to get into bed. We're past our bedtime. That's been a little different, but, we're normal people, and that's the great thing. I don't mean to quote The Office. I feel like I quote The Office all the time, but you know, there's beauty in ordinary things. I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah. Now I know Yakima, I know Ellensburg, I know Lake Chelan. I've been to all these places. Wenatchee means something to me. I went to Boise State at Central Washington. I went to Eastern Washington. So I kind of know your league. Was Eisenhower in your league?
Yep.
See, look at that.
It's a great job. Great job. Crosstown rival. We don't talk about Eisenhower, but yeah, no, yeah, they're in the league.
The fact I know that is embarrassing. Cooper, nobody will ever know Eisenhower High School. Like, so the summers, so your dad played in the NFL summers. Yakima is hot. Mm-hmm. Did your dad put you on a farm? Did he put you on a tractor? Like, what did you do in the summer?
No, I was so lucky, and I've told my parents this over and over, how thankful I was that they allowed me to not have to work in the summer. They let me go work out. I got to work out and do whatever I really wanted to do, and didn't make me spend 9 hours working somewhere. And not everyone gets that opportunity. I that's not missed on me. I had the opportunity to spend the summer getting better at things that I wanted to do. I played in basketball tournaments. I played, I organized 7-on-7 things, and just being a part of playing the game, the things that I want to work on as a football player, as an athlete, as a kid, I got to do those things. And I was so appreciative of my parents for being able to, like, for allowing me to be able to do that stuff. When I know certainly I could have, like, they could have asked me, you know, hey, there's some things you have to do. You have to work. I did have to, one summer, I had to re-roof our house. So there's little things that came up that we had to do, but I was very thankful and very grateful for my parents and allowing me to do that.
So you're known for talking in technical terms, and I think it's great because most people give cliches and you'll talk in technical terms. So just for fun, and we don't know what play it is, yeah. I imagine McVay also loves technical terms. Like, he just loves the game. Give me a Rams play, just the name of it, and let me try to figure out kind of what it is.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go to Y mode a bunch right tight. Y mode a bunch right tight. Lamar Slacker. Y mode a bunch right tight. Lamar Slacker.
Okay, time out. Bunch right. Lamar may mean Lamar Jackson. Slacker. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's a jet sweep for you. From right to left.
No, it's not. That's not it. I can tell you what it is, but that's not it. I can't even really tell you that you're close either. So it was a fun exercise, but you know, it's a good thing. It means that we're doing a good job in terms of how we're naming things. It shouldn't be too clear for you.
Now, who names them? Who gives them the names?
Sean, the coaching staff, usually does. If new things come up, we get to collaborate a little bit. If we think there's a name for something that kind of hits our brain the right way, he kind of allows a little bit of freedom there. But typically most of the stuff is coaches usually have the best ideas. They're here the longest. They drink the most coffee. They get to have the best ideas.
when you're over the course of a season, it's a long season. You've got to get along. I mean, at some point, you've got to have some levity in a season because it's really intense. And is Stafford the kind of guy, like, you know, Tom Brady's told stories where he and Gronk joked during a game, or Joe Montana joked at a Super Bowl with John Taylor. He pointed out, like, a comedian John Candy in the stands. What is Stafford's personality in games?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty calm demeanor most of the time. He's competitive as can be. I think he really feels himself. He starts, you know, if he tucks the ball and runs a little bit, like, you know, he don't get up there and try talking to him. He's kind of like feeling himself. You gotta kind of let him live in that moment a little bit. He'll call you out, and if you're messing up, like, he's on you about, you know, what's going on, and he's not afraid to ask you, like, to tell you that he needs you somewhere or needs something out of you. But that's great. It's great. It's what you want from a leader. You want someone who's going to talk straight, shoot straight with you. That's competitive as can be, that wants to win. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that, you know, that Matthew Stafford wants to win the game as badly as anyone else on that field. So, you know, he's got a great demeanor about him. I get yelled at all the time by him. You know, there's a couple of times you can go back through games, or he took too long on a route, and he's over there tapping his tapping his wrist, saying that we got things up. I'm like, I got you. I know.
This week's gold medal performance goes to a team whose dynasty isn't dead just yet. The Warriors on the brink of yet another trip to the finals. Golden State's older, a little more brittle, but they're still doing things the same way. They're not brand obsessed, no egos, willing to share and adapt. The Warriors have won 9 straight conference final games. Think about that, and with one more, they'll be back on the big stage. I'm Colin Cowherd. The uncertainty in the world is leading to market volatility. My good friends at Legacy Precious Metals are here to walk you through why gold is the way forward through these unsteady times. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you how to roll your existing retirement account into a gold IRA. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-674-HERD or download your free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Be honest, what did Eastern players think about the red turf, which I donated to?
Honestly, when you're a part of it, when that's just all you know, we loved it. It was no different. I go back and look at it now, and it hits you on tape. Like, it's like you gotta scoot back away from your computer screen a little bit. But when we're on it, when we're playing on that day after day, we loved it. It's something you take pride in, and it's just home. It's just what you are used to. So, when we were at Eastern, we absolutely loved it.
Yeah. You know what I remember about Eastern too? The phase, because I used to take my classes early in the morning. I do a 9, 10, 11. There'd be nobody in the phase. So I'd go work out from like noon to 2 before you guys got in at football.
Yeah.
I always tell people this. When the Seahawks used to host camp there, I was in the best shape of my life in college, man. Mm-hmm. It was, people don't understand this open air facility that, like, people, there's a reason the Seahawks picked it. Like, people just don't understand. Eastern's got great workout facilities.
Yeah, we got some good stuff. There's some stuff we can improve on. Do you know the phase is called the phase because it's actually just the first phase of 5 that they were going to do? Like, it's a phase because there was actually 5 buildings they were going to do, but they just run out of money. So it's just phase 1 just became the phase.
By the way, Eastern running out of money. We never had any money. That's why I love you're Eastern.
Right. You're right. They were ambitious. We're big dreamers at Eastern. Big dreamers. We've always got big plans. The money's not always there, but they're working on it.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, Cooper. You're great. I love watching you play. You're all class. And good luck to you and your family, man. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Colin.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hansis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.